Welcome back to the Inside Flicks podcast. This episode we are reviewing Alejandro Jodorowsky's classic horror film, Santa Sangre.
Listen, this kind of stuff will make you sick. If you promise not to tell, I'll take you somewhere else. That's much more fun than the movies. A little sniff of this, how we see. Sniff. Vamos, amigos.
That was a clip from the 1989 Santa Sangre, another one of our picks for the month of October and a perfect pick for the Halloween season. I'm Rich and I'm here with my two brothers, Mike and Raymond. Say hello.
How's it going, everyone?
Hi.
All right, Mike, tell us a little bit more about this movie.
Yeah, this is from, like you said, Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's kind of like the master of midnight movies. This came out in 1989. This was like his, I think he didn't direct a movie for a whole decade because he was much more prolific in the 70s. And so this is like him coming back. This is his return to form. This is, I don't know, it's a hard movie to describe because it's a weird movie. Basically, it tells this bizarre story of Phoenix. He's a young circus magician, but due to a gruesome family tragedy, he grows up to be a psychologically fragile man living in a mental institution. And when he escapes from the asylum, Phoenix then reunites with his overly controlling mother. They not only become a terrific sideshow act together, they also become like this very lethal duo. You know, this is kind of a strange mashup of Fellini, Hitchcock, Psycho, and like early David Lynch. So that would give you an idea with the movie. But I mean, again, this is a hard movie to describe because it uses imagery and it uses magic. You know, like, it's harder to pinpoint in a synopsis.
Almost everything in this movie, like all these scenes and even like these plot points, they feel all metaphorical or yeah, like it's a symbolism for something else.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get into like more of like the, what we think the deeper meanings of this movie is a little later, but.
Well, we should start.
Yeah, it's like,
let's start with you, Raymond, because you picked this movie for us to watch. I seen this movie probably, the last time I saw this movie was like almost a decade ago. And I was, I'm a big fan of all the Alejandro Jodorowsky's films. You know, El Topo was one of my favorite movies. Holy Mountain is another good movie. This is, I would dare to describe this movie as his most mainstream.
Wow.
Because it does have a horror element. There's a slasher element to this movie. Like Psycho.
We should also add the movie's co-written by Claudio Argento.
Who's the brother?
Dario Argento's brother, who produced all of his films and produced a lot of George A. Romero's films as well.
Yeah. I think that's why I wouldn't say that Alejandro Jodorowsky's a horror filmmaker, although his movies are horrific. But I think this is definitely his version of the slasher film or whatever.
It's so poetic.
Let's start with you, Raymond. What's your thoughts on this film, your review on this film?
With spoilers?
Not yet, but just your kind of overall thinking.
Oh, so no spoilers.
No, not yet. We'll go into it.
Okay. It's fascinating. I mean, this is a movie that you watch. You could just watch it once, and it'll stick with you. You'll remember certain imagery. You'll remember certain actions. You'll remember character and just facial expressions and just the score for this movie. I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
So many things will stay with you. It's a unique film. It's kind of like a I guess El Topo mixed with, to me it's like El Topo mixed with like a Eraserhead.
Definitely. What's your history with this film? I mean, because you said you saw it last year, but
you showed me this movie
years ago though.
Years ago. And I loved it. Well, I didn't know what to think, actually. I didn't know what to think at all, but it just stuck with me. And then I bought it on Blu-ray a couple years later, and I watched it again, and then I watched it again a couple years later, and
So this is one last year. This is one of your favorite ones, favorite like all time.
Well, it's the thing is, it's like you were saying, it's his most accessible movie.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in a lot of ways, it is. Yeah.
It's Yeah, it's Jodorowsky's most accessible movie in many ways. It's like the one that has the most linear story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know,
maybe because of Claudio. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is. I would say it's in the horror genre, but although the first half is much more like a psychological, atmospheric kind of character study, and then it goes into like this slasher film or I don't know, like psycho. Like a psycho, you know, like Hitchcock psycho.
Well, it's the whole thing is Felix's journey from, you know, childhood to to adulthood.
Yeah, it starts with him as a mental patient, and then it goes into flashback, and we find that Phoenix, his reason why he goes insane, and then there's the third act or second to third act. It's him trying to when he reconnects with his mother. We won't go into spoilers just yet, but. It's also, you know, it really is this kind of mother. He has like a relationship to it's almost like a Norman Bates type of thing, but I won't get too much away. Rich, let's go with you because I'm interested in what you think about this movie because this is nothing like this is not something that you particularly look for or
no, this is not my bag. This is not my cup of tea.
I want to hear what your thoughts in this movie because this was the first time you like. Look, you heard about the movie.
Yeah, I saw you watching it years ago. And
you've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But you never. This is the first time you really sat down and watched the whole thing in it entirely. So what's your thoughts?
You made me.
Well, I mean, this is the idea for the podcast, to review these movies, you know, these type of movies.
Right.
And it's
right.
Halloween. Come on.
Yeah, I know. This, yeah. It is what it is. I mean, did I like it? I kind of did, but not
enough to watch it again or.
Like, oh no, not
no, no, no. Give it a couple of years,
decades. Yeah, but to me, I'm amazed that it was 1989. I could have swore it was like 1970s, like mid 70s or something.
Well, you know, it's you know, like Alejandro Jodorowsky. He was born in Chile. He moved to France. I think he lives in France now, and this was set in Mexico. So
what year what was that other movie that you like? Django.
Oh, that's like in the '70s. I don't know.
Yeah, that to me like this kind that kind of era like that seemed like that.
Well, there's a certain aspect. I think this is not set in any time and place. This kind of it's a weird kind of it's not you know it is set in Mexico or it was shot in Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's in English because I think they wanted to. Sell it to English-speaking countries, but I don't.
Because El Topo was such a hit over here.
Yeah, that's true, and he has a name. He is known as the master of midnight movies.
To me, this it was very visual, of course, but not as visual as like Tarzan's.
The Cell or something like that.
Not the Cell, the other one, the Fall.
Mm. No, it's a totally different idea. I mean, look, I think Alejandro is like he's a circus guy, you know, this is like Fellini. This is him doing Fellini.
Yeah, yeah, I guess
because there's, you
but
know,
it's out there, man. It's it's Looney Tunes at the point. But I got what it was going for, and I appreciate it for what it is. But it's not my bag. But in my way, I liked it. But am I watching it again? No.
Would you recommend it though?
I guess so. But you got to go in. You know, I'll say it at the end.
Okay. You mean more when we go to the spoiler section? Let's go. So I'll say this: I would recommend it if you're into the midnight movies. Like Raymond was saying that.
Yeah, if you're a Lynch fan, yeah, definitely.
If you're a David Lynch fan, if you like his early stuff, the Eraserhead, that's the type of movies we're talking about here. Something that's totally.
No, but I think also like you were saying, I think the Fellini fans would love this as well.
I think so too. I mean,
I think cinephiles would love this. Like,
right. I mean,
people that just like love seeing the history of cinema would really appreciate this movie.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you this story. When I first saw the movie, I was during Laserdisc era.
Yeah,
I went to the local Laserdisc store and I saw the cover. And in the cover, it said, like, it was Roger Ebert saying this is one of the best movies of the year. And I go, oh, I must check this out. And then I go, how? Wow, this is the strangest movie of the year. This is the strangest movie of the probably the history of cinema. But
We realized it was really just the best movie of all time.
Yeah. I mean, this is the movie that kind of ushered me into George Jodorowsky's filmography. I think I later went to saw. El Topo for many years was hard to get. It was not released in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go underground to get it, especially back then. I'm talking about in the 90s. And Holy Mountain was you had to go to the horror conventions and get a bootleg copy, you know. So
and can you believe that all his movies are just on Blu-ray now and you could just order them from Amazon?
Well, I know it's crazy because when I was growing up,
and a lot of his movies are streaming on Amazon.
Yeah.
Where do we see this? Amazon?
Yeah, this was streaming on Amazon. Right. So it's so strange now that it's so anyone could just click on button and they could watch one of the craziest movies. Back in the day, this was hard to get. You had to go to a horror convention, go to a booth where a creepy guy was behind the counter, asked for you got any do you ever heard of this movie El Topo, or do you ever heard this movie of the Holy Mountain? And then they just over there in the corner, and then you had to plunk down $10 and and it was the foreign import or something. Mm-hmm. a bootleg copy of the foreign import. So it was a mission. You had to go on a mission to find his films, and I think that also added to the mystique of Alejandro Jodorowsky's films and his work. But then again, I mean, I think his films are... there's no one like him.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this film earned the NC-17 rating?
I think... Well, this is what I found when rewatching this movie again. I wasn't as shocked as I was before. Mm. His imagery was still striking, but not... I don't want to go into spoilers just yet, but... There's scenes where there's blood splattering, and I didn't find that as shocking as it did when I was first time I watched it, because there's a lot of movies nowadays with blood splattering and gruesome imagery, so mm-hmm. It's kind of normal now, or I wouldn't say normal, but it's kind of it takes the shock value out of it. So, but I do understand the NC-17 rating back in the day, back in the 90s, or back in 89 when this was released.
Well, I guess they got an R-rated cut, so I'm not even sure which one we saw, because they said here's it was cut 3 minutes, so that's not much.
No, I think we saw the
standard cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember anything that was cut. I mean, there was some crazy stuff we saw.
Well, I saw plenty of that.
I personally don't mind the NC-17. I'm not really strict on NC-17. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think there should be more NC-17.
I know. I mean, the idea, initially the idea for NC-17 was that they were going to put out movies in the NC-17, not graphic sex scenes. Usually NC-17 means graphic.
No, just mature movies for adults.
Yeah, I think that was the initial idea, but for some reason the theaters owners, they don't allow NC-17 for some reason, so it became this kind of taboo kind of label.
It shouldn't be. I mean,
it shouldn't be. It should be just this is not
Because to be honest, I don't think really 14-year-old kids should go see this.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, if you really think about it, take an episode of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would get an NC-17 rating.
Well, definitely the first couple seasons.
Yeah, so I think...
the ones that had, graphic nudity.
Yeah, and also graphic violence, too. I mean, so...
Well, people don't really care about violence that much anymore.
That's true. I think the rated R movies are getting more graphic with the violence. But, yeah, I think... But then again, it's another discussion for a different time. For a different...
The movie was definitely NC-17 for the mime girl.
Why?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. Oh, you mean her situation? Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. But, if you're, again, I'll say this, if you're into the David Lynch, the Midnight Movies type of thing, we highly recommend this. Even someone like Richard, who doesn't like those movies, he says, maybe check it out, go for it, inclined to watch those type of movies, go ahead, maybe. So we recommend it. Anyway, so let's go into like deeper dive, get into spoiler section. And,
let's go straight to what the scene I was talking about.
Okay, let's do it. Warning here, we're going to do spoilers, and again, I don't know if you could spoil this movie, really, because it's so weird and so crazy, but yeah, go ahead, Raymond. What scene you want to talk about?
Okay, so it's in his childhood, and what's his name again?
Phoenix.
Axel? Phoenix.
Axel's the actor. Axel.
The actor, right?
Yeah, who's Alejandro Jodorowsky's son. And
one of his sons.
One is actually two.
Both sons played, right?
Right. There's two different timelines. Him as a young boy and him much younger or much older.
Oh, yeah. Axel plays him as an adult, right?
Axel plays him as an adult. I forgot the young boy.
Aiden.
He is another son. And I think there's a cousin, too, who plays the pimp.
Yeah, one of them plays the pimp.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a cousin. Or maybe it's another son. I don't know, but. Yeah, you know, like in El Topo, the boy in El Topo, that was another son. So, I mean, it was, he likes to put his family in these movies. But go ahead, what scene you want to discuss, Raymond?
Okay, so there's the father in this movie is a bit of a cheat.
And yeah.
He's having another relationship with the mother of this mime girl.
You're right. She's a tattoo lady.
He's the
circus ringleader. He owns a circus.
She's just a tattooed woman that dances?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know her talent or her
partner. She's just the circus stripper.
Yeah, something like that. but I should say that the guy who plays the father, he is Guy Stockwell. He is Dean Stockwell's brother.
Oh, wow.
he's an American, and the character is an American. That's why it was like called Circus de la Gringo or whatever. I forgot what the Gringo or something. It was something about that. And that's why he had like an American flag during the elephant's funeral scene.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So, but go ahead, finish your what scene? Okay, the scene you were talking about.
Okay. Well, I guess I have to build up to it because I'm forgetting the key scene. We have to talk about just the mother's religion and they worship a dead girl that was raped and murdered by two brothers.
Armless girl. Yeah. Her arms were cut off.
Yeah, but that was after she was raped.
Right. Yeah. It was this tragic figure that they became a saint and that.
Yeah,
And
there's like a whole church, like this whole cult that worships it, and a pool of blood
that they baptize themselves in. Yeah,
they baptize. It's crazy stuff. And then basically, like I don't remember which who is exactly tearing it down, but there
it was like it was some kind of like the city. There was a political aspect.
Was it like the Catholic Church or something? Because I remember a priest shows up at some point and he tries. He was going to save it or something like that, but he's like, this is blasphemous. You can't worship a child, a dead child.
Yeah.
He says, paint.
It's insane.
It's paint.
Oh, yeah.
The blood is... Yeah. So what you want to talk what about that scene? It's just crazy, you mean?
This is just insane. You got to talk about it, and it's also important for later in the movie and stuff.
Yeah, because... Yeah, they were setting up the imagery about this armless girl, and that becomes that image of an armless woman is a main idea in this movie. But there's also the tattoo on the boy's chest, the eagle. I mean, I think the eagle is also a symbol, a symbol of freedom.
Well, yeah, because at some point someone dies, and then like he draws white paint on them, and then they become an eagle, right?
It becomes a goose or something, a flying goose. Yeah, so it's
that was because that's budget reasons.
But yeah, a bird, like a bird. There's a white bird. Yeah, I mean, there's so many crazy imagery that sticks in your head, and you think of the elephant funeral scene or the elephant bleeding from the trunk. I mean, those are just memorable, striking images that mean something. I don't know what it means, but it means something.
How did they make the elephant? Did they put paint inside the elephant?
I think it was.
Just water, and they plant the.
I think it was an insert shot of a fake trunk with blood just pouring out, and then it was a establishing shot with just blood on the water. I hope you're
right, because if you've seen El Topo,
yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some.
You never know.
But But, I mean, again, these are just striking images, and it just keeps, it burns into your brain. Let's talk about, I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about. We should also talk about how the fact that he becomes a mental patient and he escapes from the mental asylum. And
But we need to talk about what got him there, the tragedy.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the tragedy.
And that, which was what I've been trying to build up to.
Okay, go ahead. Build it up.
I forgot. The husband's a cheater.
Yes, right. Yeah, he's having this affair with his tattoo lady. He's caught by the mother.
When he should be with this crazy woman that worships.
She's a religious
armless child.
She's a trapeze artist, also. We should also say.
Oh yes, yes, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yes,
well. Hangs by the hair.
Yeah,
weird stuff. When she finds out that her husband is cheating on her, she. Gets a bottle of acid.
And she pours it into his genitals.
Yeah, pours it into the genitals of each one of them, and then the husband in rage and anger grabs two swords, or was it one sword? I don't remember.
It was a knife. It was the knife.
One of the knives. Yeah,
it was both knives. Oh, yeah, it was two knives.
Two knives. And then at the same time, cuts both her arms off, basically making her like a messiah in a way, I guess, for her, in her head, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Not a messiah, like a martyr.
Martyr, yes, yeah. I mean, she's...
In her head. Because she died in a way, like, it seemed like she was kind of happy.
Well, I first thought she was totally dead, and then after when he saw her in the...
You talk about Phoenix?
Yeah, when he
escapes from the asylum.
And then he sees her on the street
with now armless.
Yeah, I thought that was a totally figment of his imagination at first.
Well, I mean,
it was. Though.
It is. Though.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You're right. But it's done in a way where we think we're not sure what the hell's going on. But
yeah, because with this type of movie, you're like, oh no, it's real. It has to be. Yeah.
So you know, so at this point, it becomes the family tragedy is that the mother basically kills the father, and the father then kills the mother, and then Phoenix then.
And he witnessed everything.
He witnesses all. Cut to a couple years later, he's in a sane asylum. He escapes the asylum, and he didn't.
And also the father, as he's leaving. Nude, he slits his throat in front of the little mime girl.
That's the NC-17 scene. It's so weird. It's weird, man.
Ah, the carnival life.
Then it cuts to him escaping the asylum, and then he magically just reunites with his armless mother, and then they two become like a sideshow act where
the way he escapes is so bizarre.
Yeah,
So first of all, he's in an asylum with a bunch of like handicapped people, mentally challenged people, a lot of people.
We should talk about that scene. He's with a group of Down syndrome.
They most of them have Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And they basically, I don't know, their caretakers take them to the movie theaters.
Yeah, they get permitted to leave the asylum for a night, and they go to...
Them in the theater alone while they go in the car to have sex.
Yeah, where they're supposed to make out. They're like, they go to the movies, and they go off.
The kids are supposed to, or the patients are supposed to go into theater.
Right, to watch a
movie.
And
you sit down and watch the movie, but this pimp shows up.
And then gives them cocaine. And offers them, don't go in the movies. Give me your money. I'll take you to a real show.
Yeah,
and he basically takes the whole group of Down syndrome patients in Phoenix to the red light district, prostitutes and in Mexico. And then, for a brief second, it becomes like this musical bit where we hear this mambo song. It's funny. I think it's supposed to be satirical. It's supposed to be humorous a little bit. It goes into this kind of musical sequence where they're walking down the street with this mambo music, and it's a great scene. It's like, I hope that's in the West Side Story or something. I mean, it's like, it's so funny. It's weird. It's pure Jodorowsky, So, yeah. I think that's one of my most favorite scenes in the film. That whole musical sequence where They're walking down the street. Down syndrome's kids are high off cocaine. They're dancing, you know. And, you know, and the pimp gets in a fight with another local pimp, I guess, you know.
And you can tell everyone there is having a great time.
I mean,
and there's also a bunch of, like, people, like, missing body limbs, like, throughout.
Well, yeah, that's
dancing on the street.
That's a thing that Georgiowski does, and it's...
But they all show up during the red light district scene, around all the prostitutes. They all just come up, show up, and start dancing.
Yeah.
Specifically in that moment. Oh, I think there might have been a couple also in the funeral, the elephant funeral.
Yeah, I mean, El Topo had a lot of, like... missing limb guy. You know, I don't know, those people with missing limbs are kind of deformed actors. I don't even know if they're actors. They're just probably real people that he picks up from, you know, who puts them in the movies. But yeah, it's like a thing that he does constantly. I don't know.
But to me, it never feels like he's exploiting.
No, I don't think it's exploitive. I mean,
I just wanted to point that out. You know, for people listening that aren't familiar with the films, it never feels like he's exploiting.
It feels like this is something he's seen in his childhood, and then he's bringing that into his films. There, mm-hmm. And also it feels
something
like
that's something that really stuck with him. And
right, I mean, this movie, you know, I mentioned Fellini, and I think I think Jodorowsky is a huge fan of Fellini's. And there was a thing in the 60s, or not in the 60s, 50s, 60s, maybe, yeah, 50s, where it's Italian neorealism. It was a movement that they did over there. Fellini was part of it, it was post-war Italy, and most of the films during that movement was about stories that focused on the working class and the oppressed society. And I think that's what he gravitated. I'm talking about Jodorowsky gravitated toward those films about the lower, you know, like the misfit, the outcast. And
His autobiographical film Dance of Reality seems to have an influence of from that genre as well.
Yeah So, you know, I think he calls his film Jodorowsky, I think he calls his films magic realism, which it's almost, that's the perfect way to describe his film. There's a mystical element to it that's tragic. It's horror. It's a lot of things. Supernatural. It's religious. You know, it's so many things. Anyway, I think we should also mention that when the kid gets older, he reconnects with his mother. He becomes this sideshow act with his mother. He basically becomes her arms in the sideshow act. They start living together, so she has a control over him. You know, that's when it becomes Norman Bates. This becomes Psycho.
And then every time he meets someone, every time he's going to have like a sexual encounter with a woman,
yeah,
he hallucinates his mother that she's with him.
Yeah,
and then she's telling him to murder, kill people.
Yeah, yeah, and she
kill these people.
And he becomes a serial killer.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Psycho, he can't help it. He's under the control of his mother. And it is like that mother son, you know, Floridian idea. You know, it's all crazy. And then I think eventually he reconnects with that mute girl from the circus.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually a very touching component of this movie. That this, you know, he was in love with this mute girl when he was in the circus. He reunites with her later on, and then she's like the last person that he wants to hurt, and then he has to confront his mother, and then it's revealed that it was all in his head the whole time, and kind of like Fight Club in a way. You know, maybe I think David Fincher maybe been influenced by this or whatever, maybe or something. I won't doubt it, but I mean, it was an idea. It's an idea, or maybe like that form of high tension. The idea that at the end it revealed itself that he was doing the killings this whole time. Mm. His mother doesn't exist. It was in his head. But look, this movie took place in 1989. I didn't really. It took some themes from Psycho, but since then, I don't think it was an idea that haven't really fleshed out until then. You know. Anyway, Raymond, you want to mention any other? You want to talk any other scenes?
Yeah, let's talk about the symbolism of the movie. What do you think Jodorowsky was trying to say? I kind of feel he was talking about like kind of being controlled by his mother, obviously, right?
Obviously.
Something like that, and trying to maybe escape as an artist, and he felt like he was being bottled down.
I think, and there's also the theme of life after death, or death after life, or no, life after death,
and also something about becoming his father.
Right, that's true. But I mean, but yeah, true. That, I mean, he didn't want to. He didn't. He there was fears of him becoming a.
Becomes the person that he does that he never that he didn't like.
Yeah. But I mean, the character was a magician, and the whole idea, his act was like bringing life into death. And also, he was, you know, there's a scene where he replicates the
invisible man.
So there's an idea that he feels invisible with his mother around, you know, because, you know, so there's a whole bunch of different ideas in this movie. For instance, in the final act where he finally confronts his self, he knows that he killed all these people, and then he sees all the ghosts of the women he killed, because he buries all the bodies in the backyard,
something like that. Yeah.
And all the ghosts comes out of the grave in this really striking scene where all the white ghosts comes out. You know what I'm talking about, Raymond?
Yes.
So all the white ghost comes out, and he's haunted by it. And that's a scene that's so striking, and it's still striking now. There was a scene similar in Bringing Out the Dead, Martin Scorsese's.
I never saw that one.
There's a similar scene where the ghost of the people in Bringing Out the Dead, it starred Nicolas Cage as a ambulance driver.
Mm-hmm.
And all the victims he saved, or all the victims he didn't save, actually, he has a scene where all the ghost comes out of the ground in this kind of like drug out way, you know, sequence. And I go, man, that's exactly like Santa Sangre.
Mm.
So I think that, I mean, there's, you know, so that's how influential this Zdarsky is. You know, he's not bizarre. You know, he's a bizarre character, but he is taken seriously. You want to mention anything else, man?
I highly recommend it, and I think you just have to basically be over 17.
Yes, I always say so too.
And also, you know, maybe be a bit of a film snob,
especially
an art nerd also.
Yeah, art house horror midnight movie kind of fan of that.
Yeah, if you like David Lynch, Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
Yeah, and who else?
I don't know. There's a whole bunch. But, Rich, you want to say something about this film before we go?
No.
You want to talk about the wrestling, the male, the female wrestling scene?
Oh, my God.
Which is
one of the victims.
One of the victims, and still is one of the craziest scenes in a film ever. You know, that still is kind of so weird, because I won't.
I like to say, I hate clowns. I still hate clowns.
Yeah. All right, so Raymond, final words?
Great movie.
Yeah, I agree. This is a great classic midnight film. Also, if you want to get freaked out for Halloween, watch it. It's streaming now on Amazon. So that was it. That was Santa Sangre. Crazy ass.
Gotta rate it.
Oh, yeah. I'll give it an A. For sure. You, Raymond?
I'm going 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Rich?
Honest. Honest opinion?
Yeah, honest grade.
Honest opinion?
Yeah.
A B.
Oh, come on.
A B?
But I thought you didn't like this movie.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
But I have my honest opinion?
Yeah.
Like, did I? No, I'll give it a C. I'll see.
All right.
But, yeah, it is good.
You respect it.
I respect it.
Okay. Okay.
But,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's.
You have to be in a particular mood to watch it, yeah.
Or you like getting high.
Sure.
I'm gonna make it scary.
Yeah. All right, so that was Santa Sangre. That was our review. Look, you want more reviews, go on to insightflix.com. We'll be back with another movie to review. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.